Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and it's coming to you live, actually, this time. Right now, it's coming to you live. But if you're listening, you know, on the podcast, then, I mean, you know, it's not. big day yesterday, and a lost opportunity. Not only in result, North Texas lost 54-32, but the manner in which they lost it was devastating. At one point, it was 52-17 or something like that. So not the best day. And you know, I like to say that every Sunday after a Mean Green win is a great Sunday, right? It feels good. Everything tastes better. Things don't taste so good this morning, you know. Like, maybe they just taste regular, because I still think there's reason to hope. There's still reason to be excited about this season. But maybe it's been tainted a bit by reality, maybe, or by just a poor result. Mr. Aldo Avina, how do you feel this morning, and what is your feeling about the game?
I feel okay. I mean, SMU came out and did what I expected them to do. I thought Courtland Sutton was going to beat us. I was thinking he was going to score 3 touchdowns, and he ended up scoring 4 touchdowns.
Exceeding expectations.
Yeah, so he exceeded expectations. I didn't expect us to struggle as much as we did. I thought we could make it a game, try to keep it close. Obviously, I didn't expect us to win, but I didn't expect us to lose like we did.
Yeah, and all right, so just to kind of recap, but I guess where we left off, what our expectations were. I thought we'd win. I thought we'd pull out a win. And my reasoning was that I didn't really believe, and I still don't really believe, in SMU's quarterback. I don't feel like they have all the pieces there. And I feel like our strengths kind of match up with them a little bit in certain areas. Like, you know, our secondaries are our best asset defensively. And our defense can get enough pass rush. We got to Matt Davis last season, and we couldn't get to him. We couldn't grab onto him, and so he escaped and created, you know, extra yardage after a point where we should have got him. I didn't really feel like Ben Hicks could do that kind of thing this time. I'm like, so, you know, that's going to change the game. Early on, it looked to be that way, and so, I felt like things were going to plan. Unfortunately, they still had Courtland Sutton, and he's still better than anybody we had guarding him, and he still dominated North Texas defensively. So that was kind of worst-case scenario, but I also think, you know, like my prediction, my feelings, the parts of the team that gave me confidence were that, you know, we wouldn't shoot ourselves in the foot, and we did that. And I think that was kind of the game. That was it in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into a game. But I think, you know, essentially North Texas, I don't want to say they beat themselves, but they helped beat themselves. They didn't help themselves win. Yay or nay?
Yay. Yeah, I mean, they had one job, and that was to stop Courtland Sutton. North Texas had one job. SMU had one job, and that was to stop Jeffrey Wilson. They did their job. We didn't do our job. Courtland Sutton was able to beat us for 4 touchdowns, 160-something yards. Overall, I think we did a pretty decent job against the run. You know, except for that one broken play where Xavier Jones ran for a 47-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
We held them under 100 yards rushing. So, surprisingly, I thought they would run all over us, and then they'd pass it to Courtland Sutton. We kept the rushing game in check, and that gives me, you know, hope for the future for the run defense.
Yeah. So, all right. I think you're bringing this point up on Twitter, on Slack, and just kind of in our pre-show talk here. You felt like we did a good job stopping everybody besides Courtland Sutton, and I mostly agree with you. I think one of the biggest issues that we had, I wrote about it in a little immediate recap. One of the issues that we had was that we couldn't get off the field on third downs. And part of that information, part of that reason was that they had Courtland Sutton. So you can go back and look at some of these things. I think the angle was pretty decent on ESPN3 last night. That you can see some of this stuff. But they'll have Courtland Sutton in a spot. He runs a route, like say a sail route, right? Corner route. And they'll have somebody running, you know, kind of like the opposite or with him. I think in the case I'm thinking of, it was Quinn. And he ran a post. And both North Texas defenders, and almost rightly so, were looking at Courtland Sutton because he's the most dangerous man in the field. And so that left Ben Hicks with lots of time to throw to Quinn and get the first down. Convert. It was like 3rd and 10, and he got 13 yards on the play. And just a couple plays later, you see what happens when they don't overly focus, or even if they overly focus on Courtland Sutton. It's 3rd and 13. North Texas seems like they're in a good spot defensively. Ben Hicks looks right, floats a 40-yard pass to Courtland Sutton, touchdown. You know, like it's difficult. If you only look at results, it's easy to get really angry at the defense. If you look at the process, you saw some good things there, but as every coach will tell you, you got to finish. You know, like, I mean, it doesn't matter if you play well for two downs. You know, you need to play well for all three and or four. And I mean,
yeah, I think what was killer is was not only not being able to stop Courtland Sutton, but it was not being able to come back and score and keep up. We were coming back and, you know, having terrible penalties, not executing, changing our plan of attack early on.
Yeah, I think North Texas, like, I think there was three drives in a row where, like, they punted, there was a downs turnover, and then there's like an interception. Aside from that, because I think a lot of people, I saw a lot of complaints about our offense. Like, the problem is the quarterback, he's not throwing the ball deep. I mean, he can throw the ball. Somebody run longer than 10 yards. Like, that's in, I would say, like, that doesn't really tell you much. You know what I mean? Like, the answer is not, well, run down the field further because that'll open everything up. There's a lot of stuff that goes into an offensive play. So I'm going to give those people the benefit of the doubt and say they were not taking shots down the field, right? That was their complaint. Okay. Well, why were we not taking shots down the field? Because we needed the time and space to, you know, drop back 7 yards to let a guy run down the field for 7 yards. There's a lot of ways to do that, depending on what SMU was giving us. And so I thought North Texas did a good job getting what was there, taking what was available, and it was working. I mean, they moved down the field pretty easily on the first drive of the game, and even the second drive of the game. And so the drives that I mentioned, the 6-play, 37-yard, I think that one ended on the interception. There was another one for a punt. Those are okay. What was the big reason those drives failed? Well, they fell like a yard short of the first down, like on the second or third first down. There was the downs. There was like three straight runs, and then we tried to force it in with Jeff Wilson. Couldn't get enough push, turning over on downs. Like, that's execution, but I don't think running a deeper route is going to get us that first down there. Like, we just got to get a first down and then see what happens. Same thing on the other plays. I think a couple, Kelvin Smith caught the ball just short of the first down. I mean, if he breaks the tackle, or if he stretches a little bit, or, you know what I mean? Like, if this, that, and the other happens, that's a first down.
Sure. And, you know, to give credit to Mason Fine, he had a great game. He was moving the ball and throwing it down the field. I mean, he had huge passes downfield that were on the money. You know, say what you want, whether or not it was first string or second string defense, they were down the field, they were on the money, and they looked good. And I think that gives me hope. I think we should have stayed with SMU, and we should have done a better job containing Courtland Sutton, but we didn't. But that doesn't make me pessimistic for the rest of the season. I think what we showed today or last night was way better than anything we saw from Mason Fine and the rest of the team last season.
I agree. I think this is basically like, I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of add to that point, but I think you summed it up as well as it can be summed up. Yeah, like I, it's easy to get a reaction. Like my gut reaction when watching them go down, it was like, it was like 21, 28 straight points by SMU was like frustration, and just kind of like anger, I guess. I think what we could do is to look at it for what it was, like the plays leading up to it. You can kind of see how it happened. It got away from them. And that kind of stuff happens. But at the same time, I don't want to be the kind of fan that makes excuses all the time for a team. And I think now's the time where we ask an additional question, right? Like how much of this is kind of, say, Seth Luttrell team MO, you know what I mean? To not really show up in some big games. So let's just quickly count back some big games. What are some big games in the, what is it, 12, 13 games that he's coached? There has been this one. This is a very winnable game. And what you hope is that they play a little bit better. The UTEP game, right, that could have secured bowl eligibility. They laid an egg in that one. That was awful.
You can say UTSA.
Yeah, the UTSA one was a big one. But I also think we're skipping the Southern Miss. They kind of showed up in that one, even though that was like a weird one. They jumped out to the lead and then kind of allowed them to come back. That was a big game, and they did well in that one. So we got to give them that's some positive there. But yes, the UTSA game was one where, I don't know, like I said, that I'm like one of the people that comes away from that and say, oh, that was a missed opportunity. And if we had a more experienced quarterback there, like if we had Mason Flynn like today and dropped him into that team, I think North Texas would have done a much better job. But we didn't.
Much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no Mason Flynn today if there wasn't that game in his history for him to look back and draw on and improve from. So, you know, chicken and the egg kind of thing.
And you gotta look at it in context.
Yeah,
exactly. If you drop this Mason Flynn into a game against Rice, UTEP, I think we've got a better chance at winning than, you know, somebody like SMU or Iowa.
Yeah, and that was the other part, is I think that SMU presents some very specific problems that challenge us. Like, whereas, hey, our secondary is our best asset, and we can probably stay with, you know, some pretty talented teams. If we can't, then we have nothing, because that was our strength. You know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. it. I was a little disappointed that we allowed Xavier Jones to get that 47-yard run at that point in time, because I felt like that was, like, gut check time. Like, you got to play. Like, it looked like the offense, granted, maybe they had the twos in there. It looked like the offense kept playing. They kept trying to win. And I felt like the defense was just kind of, I don't know, were they just overmatched? Did they just get beat? Or did they just kind of, I don't know, stop playing? I hope it's not the latter. But I still didn't like a 47-yard run through the gut of the defense.
That late in the game and that big of a point differential. Yeah. It's pretty demoralizing when you're out there.
So did you make the game? You were at the game?
No, I had to stay home and watch it.
Dang. Yeah, I had to stay home too. I was trying to get a sense of like the atmosphere there. It looked like we had a good like crowd.
From pictures, it seemed like a good presence. From the game feed, they really didn't focus on the stands as much as they did like that green area.
Yeah, like I didn't see any. They didn't show really much of the crowd at all, like either side. And I wonder if that was because the crowd was not really impressive. Usually, they kind of show somebody out there. Like, Anyway, that's it. Disappointing loss.
We had 99 problems. We had 99 problems, and Courtland Sutton was all of them.
Yeah, it was every single problem that there was. The good news, there's no Courtland Sutton on the schedule. I don't think Iowa's guys are even as good as Courtland Sutton. And for whatever reason, this dude just plays well against us. He scored 3 touchdowns against us last season, and that was his season high. I don't think he's going to get 4 touchdowns against any other team. So we're probably his season high, and I think career high, and SMU record. I think he tied an SMU record. So we have that designation of being of belonging to Courtland Sutton. We are now his. He owns university, I guess. The university union now belongs to him. Yeah, that was awful. All right, so singular talents aside, let's look at the other stuff. Let's look at North Texas side. Yes, with all these caveats, yes, it was late in the game. Yes, it was against some backups. And yes, it was too little, too late. However, last season, North Texas had a few blowouts with which to you know, stat pad. And they didn't stat pad as well as they stat padded last night. And I think that is significant.
Well, not only did they not, but they couldn't stat pad last season.
Yeah, that's important. It's they didn't because they couldn't. They tried. They tried to throw a touchdown, and it didn't work. Last night, Jaylon Darden looked tremendous. I think 5 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown. And you're like, well, that's not so great. But he looked dangerous every time he caught it.
And he didn't get going until, I think, the second half.
Yeah. Jalen Guyton, 3 catches, 109 yards, and 2 scores, including the 72-yard touchdown that we expected to see. We thought maybe that was going to be a common occurrence. We didn't really see him do that kind of thing against Lamar, but he got free against Lamar a couple times. We really didn't need to throw the ball very much against Lamar, so it was hard, like I said, to get anything from that game. So this is our first real look in a game situation, you know, seeing Jaylon Guyton, and I like what I saw. He's dangerous. He's going to open things up. He can take the top off the defense. And I think this is what people were looking for when they were saying, we got to run longer routes. Yeah, I mean, we're trying. It's there. We got to set it up. Otherwise, we're just wasting a guy running deep.
These were our longest plays last night, our longest pass plays. 72 yards, 37 yards, 45 yards, 28 yards, 12 yards, 19 yards. I think we're doing okay on the deep play.
Yeah, and all right, so Graham Harrell did a good job bringing some new looks to North Texas. We're not the same. What can happen, especially with like an air raid team whose system is well known, you can kind of become predictable. Like, well, they're here. They're gonna go to screen. Here they're gonna go to the stick route. Here they're gonna run mesh. Like, we just know what's coming, and that makes you easy to stop. So when we come out with like a little bit of a bunched formation, a little bit of wildcat formation, it makes them have to think a little bit, and you know that's good. And overall, those things were successful. One concern you have when you bring out some new formations and attack with a different philosophy is that maybe you're getting away from practicing the things that you're supposed to be good at, your staples. But I didn't think that was the case. Again, North Texas' offense in the first half, when it mattered, was stopped not really by poor play. Like, where last season they'd do a holding penalty or they'd throw the ball out of bounds. This time it was just short of the sticks, which is correctable. It was, you know.
Terrible refs.
Terrible refereeing. It was, what was the other one? Like, not getting enough push on fourth down. I don't know if that's correctable because that was happening last season, too. But, you know, like, those things, they can change. Maybe better execution block. Maybe we run it outside instead of inside. I don't know. But the thing is that the offense looked okay, maybe even good at times. And has the potential for being really good and maybe even great by the time we get to like Rice or UTEP later in the season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, execution was a big part of the good plays and the bad plays. Running up the middle, it looks like it's going to be problematic throughout the season unless, you know, we figure something out, the light turns on, or we change how we run those plays. Like going to the outside versus trying to run up the middle. Or at least minimize the times we run up the middle. I mean, I hate saying let's not run up the middle, but we found little room to run. The defensive line for SMU was getting tons of push.
Yeah.
And Nick Smith had to try real hard to push for 4 yards even.
Yeah, so, I mean, Jeffrey Wilson's final stats, 13 rushes, 37 yards. That is awful. 2.8 yards per carry. Nick Smith, 5 rushes, 32 yards. 6.2, that's a little bit better. But I think his longest one was 14. Jeff's was 10. I think that was in the first quarter. It might have been, like, the first drive. And then Mason Fine had 34 yards rushing. So, overall, 103 yards to the good. But it was not good. It didn't look like we could run. And
yeah, granted, some of those rushes were in short yardage situations. 3 to 5 of those were in short yardage situations.
Yeah,
but we struggled in those situations.
Yeah, and I haven't taken a look at the game tape again, so I don't know exactly what SMU changed from the first couple of series to the next ones. I thought we did get a little bit away from running the ball, but. Like I said, it's not like there was, you know, it was like for naught. We were completing passes. Things were happening. I think Mason Fine was 32 for 47. I mean, he threw
over
a couple
400 yards.
Yeah, he threw a couple bad passes at times. And I say I'm not super upset about the offensive performance. I think it was like bad execution in certain spots combined with the defense not getting the job done, you know, at the same time. Like, we turn it over
consistent
on downs, and the defense does a great job, and then they allow a 40-yard touchdown. Like, you know, if that's the stop, if that's a punt, then, you know, the offense doesn't have to press so much. I think Seth Luttrell mentioned that. He's like, we're pressing a little bit. I don't know when he was talking about that, but that was the case. By the way, first quarter stats, Mason Fine was 8 for 10, 88 yards, with a long of 30. Jeff Wilson, 6 rushes, 21 yards. That was in their first quarter.
Yeah, I feel like we should have done better than we did.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah.
We looked good when we did execute. And then, you know, those inconsistencies that you were talking about on defense, you know, on first down, we'd bat down a pass on the second down. We'd tackle them for a loss, so they're sitting at 3rd and 12, and then they'd pass for 15 yards on that 3rd down. Cortland Sutton would take the top off, and then Quinn would get a pass on the sideline.
Yeah, and so, like, I think there was another one where, like, Prochet converted a 3rd and 8. It was, like, a 3-yard pass, and then he outran everybody and dived for the first down. And, you know... Like, what do you do? Like, whose fault specifically was that? Like, they're not really good at handing off on his own. And some of that's because we don't play a whole lot of that kind of zone. Like, we were rushing 3. That gave Hicks a lot of time. Why were we rushing 3? Because we couldn't bring numbers because we were scared of Cortland Sutton. And rightfully so. And that's how a singular player can change your whole dynamic and really make you look awful. And so that's why I'm not super upset with the defense. There are concerns, real concerns, but I mean, that's what kind of happens. Like, what do you do? Like, there's nobody that can guard him one-on-one, and they literally can just say, you know what, let's just throw it over there and let him make a play, because he probably will.
He
just shrugged off Kyrie Muhammad. He's beaten Nate Brooks. I think he beat Kemon Hall a couple times too. It's like, really, All we have to do is that what we have to do is get to the quarterback faster, and then hope for the best.
Yeah, I think I wrote down here some notes about his 4 touchdowns accounted for 141 of his yards.
Yeah,
the other 4 catches were just for 22 yards. So most of the time we were containing him, but then when the coverage blew out, it was bad.
Yeah, because they would throw a little smoke route to him, right, like a 2-yard pass, and then he'd just let him run. And that's not really where he's most dangerous. He's just dangerous running deep over the top. And, I mean, to their credit, that's what their offense is designed to maximize. They run up the middle, make you peak a little bit, and then throw it over the top. We did try the novel concept of just saying, you know what, let's not even guard the guy. Because we can't, let's get an extra defender down here to watch the TD from the safety of the 5-yard line. I don't really know what the plan was. I think it was right after Turner Smiley muffed the punt. And that, we can talk about special teams in a second. But that was the immediate result of that 35-yard touchdown to Courtland Sutton running free like a wild pony, I guess, right? That was the worst play of the game, I thought. Followed only by the backup quarterback to receiver who hadn't played, converted running back receiver who hadn't played, shrugging off our best safety on his way to a 76-yard TD. Like, those two plays for me are competing for worst play of the game. And I think those are the ones, if you can, like, bulletin board a play, I think I would do those too and let the defense kind of get motivated by improving upon those two plays there.
I mean, having zero coverage on Courtland Sutton was a pretty bad play.
I really wish, you know, somebody would kind of explain what happened to me on that play. I wish we had an insider, or like maybe get Brett Vito in there.
I think it was bad communication because he split the defenders and both defenders were flat footed. So I think one assumed the other would cover.
Yeah.
While the deep route, while the other one was going to cover the flat or the short territory.
Yeah, it looked like Kyrie Muhammad was over to the left somewhere, and Nate Brooks was expecting help over the top, and everybody was looking around confused. And that's really not what you want against a really good player. It's not what you want against any player, let alone a guy that can, you know, do that to you. And
I think it's about a big part of it is the inexperience of both the offense and the defense. A lot of these guys are freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah. We'll learn from it. I think, you know, now that the game's over, you're hoping they learn from it. We got Iowa next week. They scored 44 points in a back and forth game against Iowa State. That's weird. They like Iowa State play like 13-10 games some years, and then some other years they can't stop scoring. I don't really know what to expect next week, but I really need the pass defense to play better. Just really the defense to be a little bit more consistent. Really need a little bit better execution on the offense. A little bit more consistency. I think SMU was aiming to stop the run, and they did a good job of that. And North Texas was able to exploit, you know, some of the gaps behind them. And that was good. It was good to see. I'm glad to see the offense was moving. So I'm not a whole lot to really improve other than staying consistent. I think
we'll be able to move the ball on the ground in the air against Iowa. Okay.
Yeah, no, you have the weird... Yeah, we're gonna blow out Iowa, but we're gonna get killed by SMU. I don't know, but I'll take it, dude.
They're a different team. I think the dynamic's a little bit different. I don't think we're gonna get blown out the way we did last night against Iowa. I think they'll still, you know, comfortably hold the lead against us. But if we can contain Wadley and if we can contain their fullbacks and their tight ends in the passing game, because they like to attack the edges, Iowa does. And they use their tight end successfully against Iowa State, moving the ball when they struggled before. And if we're able to contain the edges, I think we could at least have a shot to stay within striking range.
I think the concern with like an Iowa or like any Big Ten team is depth. That usually like... A good Conference USA team can probably match up with a lower tier Big Ten team. And I don't know where you rank Iowa, but they're usually like mid, you know, they I want to say mid table. They're usually somewhere in the middle, and a couple, every so often, every 3 or 4 years, they're surprisingly good. That's kind of their MO. They get really good players, and, you know, in their year, they are just way better than North Texas than your average Conference USA side. I don't know, this year I feel like we could probably match up a little bit better with them. Our ones against their ones, there's not a whole lot of difference, right? It's beyond that. It's, all right, well, you're bringing the backup corner. Can this guy cover? And North Texas is still in the process of building a little bit of depth. And I think you saw a little bit of that against SMU last night, and we're kind of hoping to build that. And maybe, and that's where SMU had an advantage because they've had another year to build for the program, like build the kind of depth that you want. So a Big Ten team usually has a few more guys than like a North Texas would have, even on the best years. And so if their style of offense is to, like, you know, like you said, attack the edges, lean on you a little bit with a, you know, with a big guy, and you're a little bit undersized, you feel like the difference in talent comes to bear later in the game, and they start pulling away. That's usually how these things go. Like, well, North Texas hung with them for like the first half, and then, well, Iowa just pulled away, or Georgia just pulled away, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. I feel like we should be able to hang with them for the first half. If we come out and it's 21-0 in the first quarter, I think, like it was a couple years ago when Dan McCarney and company had their homecoming, I guess, I will be upset. But yeah, I'm fully expecting Iowa to handle North Texas. I don't really see us being able to compete with them very well at this point.
For sure, but I think we could at least be a fun game for the first half. Their linebacker Jewel, is going to attack us pretty hard, kind of like Lawler did last night during the blitzing. They got a great running back, Wadley. He's pretty darn good in space, and they'll be using him extensively. But I think if we can, you know, just throw bombs on them, it'll be a fun game to watch. It won't be like, oh crap, just turn the game off. Let's go watch somebody else play.
Yeah. Last time we, previously on Iowa versus North Texas, they just completely handled us. Like, they opened up the, you know, like they put half of our defensive line on one sideline and the other half on the other sideline and just ran in the 50-yard gap that was created. It was awful. And there was nothing North Texas could do about it. And it was in that game where we were like, man, our defensive line is just getting manhandled. And I don't know if the guys that we have on this team can you know, compete at this level. Because that's what it seemed like. Like, the defense was just getting gashed. So it's going to be really telling if North Texas can do better. I still think that, you know, like, the style of our defense, the makeup of the roster doesn't lend itself to defending a power running attack for four quarters, at least defending it well. And so what we need to kind of do is, you know, make them throw the ball, and that means keep scoring with them. Otherwise, you're just going to, like, well, we are up by 10. Let's keep running the ball, you know? Let's keep killing the clock, you know? And that, again, that's not to say that Iowa doesn't have passing game, because they can still throw the ball a little bit, but they, you know, they don't have CJ Beathard, and, you know, honestly, I don't know too much about Iowa right now at this point in time, but to me, they're just a generic Iowa team. Like,
they're bigger, stronger, faster, and
yeah,
that will beat us next week.
Yeah, I mean, unless we can out execute them, so that's why you got to look at our team, and that's been a thing that hasn't happened yet. Right, where we can say, you know what, North Texas is going to execute. That's what they do. That's what they do well. No, that hasn't been the case. North Texas is going to hurt themselves. They're going to commit holding penalties in the end zone. They're going to get sacked at inopportune times. Getting sacked any time is inopportune, but, you know. That's kind of been.
Punts.
Yeah, we're going to muff 2 weeks against use a lower tier competition, Lamar, and then maybe equal competition, similar rated teams. That was bad. Marty Biaggi, he's not really looking too good. Not making the greatest first impression because the special teams outside of the kicking game doesn't look too great. It doesn't, you know, it's nothing stand out. And it's actually actively hurting the team. Both muff punts led to touchdowns, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the coverage has not been good. The returning has been good, looking good with Jalen Darden, but it's just missed assignments.
Yeah,
consistently.
Yeah, so all those need to improve if we're going to be the team I think we can be. Because with all these flaws, Conference USA is not that great. They're really bad. Like, Louisiana Tech got handled by Mississippi State. You know, they're not really the team that we saw previously. I feel like Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky should have played better. Maybe Western Kentucky should have won. You know, Western Kentucky's a back-to-back champs. They should be playing better against an Illinois, and they haven't. Whatever. You know, I just like to complain about top of the conference every once in a while. And then people are like, well, when North Texas wins, you can complain about it. No, that's not how that works. I can complain about whoever I want, whenever I want, all the time, anytime. Thanks. Thank you very much. All right. So what else stood out? Offense looked okay. Defense got beat by one guy.
The important thing here is that even though Jeffrey Wilson got shut down, mm-hmm. Mason Fine did not get shut down, yeah. Which would have been the case last year. We have to compare it to last year because that's our only reference point here. Mm-hmm. And Mason Fine scored 3 touchdowns and he passed for over 400 yards. Maybe 200 of those, 150 to 200 of those yards were in garbage time, but he didn't get shut down.
No, he didn't. I think if you look at both interceptions, they were his fault. I know some like, well, you know, they kind of knocked it down. Well, that's always going to be a concern with Mason Fine because he's like 4'2". And he can't always throw over the defense, and that's going to be a concern. So you can give him full credit for both interceptions, and that's fine. But he has a positive TD to interception ratio. How many did he throw for last week? Was it 2?
2 interceptions, 3 touchdowns.
Last
week.
Yeah, 2 touchdowns.
He's at 6 and...
Did he throw for 3 touchdowns last week?
Today? Yeah, he's at 6 touchdowns for the season.
Yeah, that's... Isn't that like what he had last season, like overall for the year?
For the whole year, 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
yeah, so if we want to talk about his stats, he is about top 25 in terms of volume. You know, yards per game, touchdowns, yards per attempt.
Yeah. Last season, his yards per attempt, 6 yards per attempt. Six, and his average yards per attempt. What is it? Adjusted passing yards per attempt. I was like, what is that? 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, a rating of 113. That was in 10 games last season, 59% completion percentage. This year, in 2 games, 47 of 68, that's 69% completion. Nice. 648 yards. 9.5 per attempt, which is right about where you want it. You want about like 7 and up, and anything beyond that is really great. And 6 touchdowns against only 2 interceptions, quarterback rating of 172. That is improvement. And that's what we're excited about. That's why I'm like, that's good. 2 games against competition that we... Again, so you compare it, all right, say an SMU last year and a Bethune-Cookman. What did comparable stats? Mason Fine is infinitely better in these 2 games, you know, whereas that one, you're like, I can see the shine, maybe the bright spot, how this seedling will grow into a nice big giant oak tree, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. He was throwing the ball better. He was placing it well. He was throwing the ball at the top of his drop back, which are all good improvements, compared to last year. And, you know, for his detractors, I got to say, I mean, just watch the game. His stats are great. He's playing fine. He's playing well.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't ask for more than better than what's going on. I mean, sure, the schemes, the plays may not be the great plays that we should be asking for.
Yeah, and I think that's very limited. I got to see more than just run a longer route. Like, I mean, okay, what was the play call? Like, what was the play trying to accomplish at that point in time? Don't just tell me, like, we should just have a deep route every time.
We do.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, that's just terrible analysis. And I don't like to read that, especially by people that are, like, longtime fans. I'm like, really, you haven't learned nothing in 38 years of watching this team? Like, you don't really have nothing beyond throw a touchdown, guy? That doesn't do anything for anybody.
That's not how this works. How any of this works. It's an air raid team, and they run air raid plays. If you don't understand what that is, go read about it. I mean, last night's Jalen Guyton touchdown, the second one, was off of a mesh play.
Yeah.
The I think the safety was sucked in with the mesh play underneath, and that opened up Jalen Guyton one-on-one on the sideline, and he beat his guy pretty well.
Yeah.
And it was a good air raid game.
Yeah, so I mean that's what I'm saying. So you look at it, you're like, okay, that's the thing to take away. Last season we had maybe two games where we can say, here's a good examples of some air raiding right here, and that was Alec Morris in the bowl game, and maybe Mason Fine against Middle Tennessee. Although that was a lot. He threw the ball a lot, and it was a lot of short stuff, and didn't really look like they were taking the top off the defense. I mean, even just look. Last year, Bethune-Cookman, 22 attempts, only 11 completions for 108 yards. That was just moving the bus. Like, you couldn't tell me that was an air raid team. That looks like he was, throwing the ball in a I formation Dan McCartney defense offense. This season, 32 of 47. Last week, 21 attempts. It's against Bethune-Cookman, it was 22. 15 of 21, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's infinitely better. That looks like a guy that's been, running these plays and looks comfortable in the offense.
Mm-hmm. And the air raid is about spreading the defense vertically and horizontally, passing underneath, and letting your playmakers do their job. And what happened in the first quarter? That's exactly what happened. They would pass it underneath, let the playmakers do their job, and they scored twice.
Yeah. And in the same way that you hand the ball off, get three, four yards, and then the defense starts stepping up, and then you throw it over the top. It's the same thing in the air raid. You throw the short underneath, intermediate throws, keep throwing that. When the safeties step up, hey, you hit Jalen Darden over the top. You hit Jalen Guyton over the top, because they got sucked in. It's the same concept. It's just a different method of getting there, just slightly different. Like you said, if you read anything about the air raid, you want to attack all the levels, vertically, horizontally, and there are usually plays to attack all those things in the same play call. So if you're gonna complain about, say, run it farther, like running around. Okay, what was the situation, man? I saw it, and as I was taking a beer, I didn't see anybody at the 20. So then I was getting angry. That doesn't help me. That doesn't help your fellow fan get better. I understand the game, so do better. That said, I feel good about that. I don't know what we can expect against Iowa, but I'm ready for anything, and I'm hoping for the best.
I think we can exploit them similarly in the passing game. The rushing game might look just as bad as it did last night, because that's what they're built for, to attack the run game. They're in the Big Ten, so they're playing against teams like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So they know how to defend against the run. But I think we can at least surprise them in the first half with our passing. And every now and then sneak in a 30 to 40-yard bomb in there.
Yeah, I think some points where we'd like to see improvement from Mason Fine. Just some accuracy on some of these throws. He was throwing it to Turner Smiley a couple times, and Smiley had to make an amazing catch. Yeah. We'd like to see some of those put on his chest or put it right where he needs to be.
I think that and just in Fine's defense on that one. One, he was having trouble seeing over the left side of his line. And two, I think there were three passes like that. One, two to Smiley that you're talking about that he had to dive, and then one to Darden. Both receivers were slowing down doing their job. They were supposed to stop in the zone, or at least in the open field, but Fine was leading them. And so they've got to work on that execution right there.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of that. It's kind of hard to know. We're watching on the broadcast. We don't see all the pieces there. So I don't want to make any definitive statements yet, and I haven't rewatched it. So I don't know. But there are a couple times when it looked like guys changed their route or didn't continue running. I don't know whose fault that was. Yeah, I don't know who to blame or who to assign a responsibility there. So we can just, say, don't do that again.
You better stop that.
Don't do that. Why would you do that?
I think I'm more excited. I'm most excited not to move ahead to UAB, but to move ahead to UAB, I'm pretty excited to see what we can do against conference teams.
Yeah. I don't know that I trust whatever UAB has out there. And I guess, do you want to? We're gonna take a quick break. If you're on the listening live, we're gonna take a quick break. You're gonna listen to the Drifters, and if you're on a podcast, nothing will change for you. Nothing at all. Okay. Conference USA. Let's talk about it. It was a disappointing week. Not only did North Texas lose in a very winnable game to SMU, and that's the one we all care about, but the rest of the conference had some cross-division, cross-conference matchups that I thought could have done better for the whole thing. And I'm going to complain about Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech here, and if for some reason you're a Western Kentucky fan and you want to yell at me about it, whatever. Western Kentucky, yeah, I mean, it's I don't really get it. Like, someone's like, don't expect anything from Western Kentucky when North Texas is not winning. I'm like, what? They, you know what I mean? One has nothing to do with the other. I swear, that's my most common refrain sometimes to some people. Western Kentucky played Illinois, a struggling Illinois. They're not good. I don't know if they're ever going to be good. But if there was ever a team to win against, it's that team. It's kind of like how when North Texas beat Indiana a few years ago. Like, that's a win that it was a good win, but it's not really surprising. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of deal here, and they dropped the ball. Not only that, Western Kentucky looked bad doing it. Their offense, which was explosive and clever, is not anymore. And, you know, like, Jeff Brown went over to Purdue, and he's doing those things over there. So Purdue actually looks good, and Western Kentucky looks terrible, relatively speaking. And this is the back-to-back conference champ. They still have talent. They didn't look really good in this game. That's not to say that they're not going to win the league, or that they're not that good, or, you know, compared to the rest of the conference, but they didn't do the conference any favors by losing so easily, you know, going down so easily.
I mean, a big stat here is in two games, they've rushed for 168 yards.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Usually they were able to kind of mix things up a bit. Passing really well, and you're trying to stop that, and they would gash you with some runs. But they haven't been able to do that. Louisiana Tech. They played Mississippi State, and I think they will forever be known for losing 87 yards on a play. And the game was already decided. It was like 57-14 at the time. But they had like 3rd and 6, like basically 3rd and goal, and they lost 87 yards. So
it was all over Twitter.
Yeah. So way to go, Louisiana Tech. They are still probably second-best team in the league, talent-wise, and they are the odds-on favorite to give Western Kentucky a run, but they look super derpy right there.
I mean, they scored more points than Western Kentucky.
Yeah. Middle Tennessee. I mean, let me just say, like, what is wrong with that? It's not that they lost.
Last week against Vanderbilt?
Yeah. It's not that they lost. It's that they lost so badly to them. I mean, these are guys that were in the conference championship game. You know what I mean? This is the best we have to offer. We're saying that this is the best. Judges by our best. And then our best goes and loses so badly. If they would have given them a game, if Louisiana Tech would have gave them Mississippi State a version of what they did to Arkansas last week, or last year in the first week of the season, it was like 20-21, we could point to that and feel good about it. But right now we can't. Middle Tennessee beat Syracuse. Where does Syracuse rank in the national rankings? I don't know. They're just I forgot Syracuse has a football team also. They're that kind of team. So this is a good win. So a lot of complaining. Good win for Middle Tennessee.
They're still a P5 team. Yeah. So this is still a good win. Middle Tennessee struggled early. It was the game that I watched over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't connecting with his receivers. There were just a lot of miscues, muffed punts, fumbles, interceptions early on. That was keeping the offense from moving the ball. The defense was doing a really good job to contain Syracuse. And then finally they stopped doing what wasn't working, and they started attacking downfield, and they came out with the win. It was a good win for them, even though it looked ugly at first. And they are still my team to beat for the East. I didn't think Western Kentucky would do well this season just because of the turnover, both in players and coaching staff.
Yeah. Southern Miss, they basically took a glorified bye week, and they played Southern, and they beat them handily, 45-0. We didn't get any answers to the questions that we had about this team. Those questions being, who's going to play quarterback for them? And can their quarterbacks play a football game without turning the ball over? The answer to that right now is still an open question. So we don't know. I still have them as my fourth best team in the conference. The fifth best team, I did bump up some. I had them last week at 7 just because I didn't know what they were going to be. And this week I put them at 5. Is UTSA, because they beat Baylor. Now, let me ask you this. Is Baylor better than Syracuse?
At this point, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So they lost to Liberty, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Baylor lost They lost at home first 2 weeks of the season, and they look terrible doing it. They couldn't stop Liberty, and in this one, they couldn't move the ball, and they were just getting outplayed the whole game. And so let's assign appropriate credit to UTSA. Which plays the kind of game that can dominate a team that's not ready to play. But, God, I wish we got a Baylor that's this down right now, because they are awful.
Yeah, Iowa is not Baylor.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I said, Dalton Sturm played well, 15 of 20, 155 yards and 2 scores. That's not going to beat a really good team, and Baylor's not a really good team. And but I think he did enough, and that's where he's kind of scary. We were concerned about him last season because he can escape pressure and make a play. And UTSA they're the team they were last year when they beat us at home. But a lot of it was not like they didn't hit us in the mouth and just dominate us. They just controlled the game, and that's what we have to be wary of when we play them in October 14th, by the way. I still think we can beat UTSA, and I think we are much better positioned to do so. But this is a good win for the conference, because people are going to talk about this, about Baylor losing. So, good win for the conference, but I don't think we can take much away from this, because Baylor is awful.
Well, we can see that, just real quick, the UTSA had 45 rushing attempts to their 20 passing attempts. So, they're gonna try to run it down people's throats.
Yeah, again, they're going to try to control the game all the time, which is what they did last season with more success, because they had a deeper running back rotation, and they have big, strong receivers that they can throw to in a pinch. Like, well, let me run around and make a play, says Dalton Sturm, and throw it up to this guy who can make a play because he's bigger and stronger than defensive backs. And you might remember that's what happened to us last season. Eric Jenkins got worked over by Johnson Stewart. On a couple plays, but it was mostly our turning the ball over. So I still feel okay about that one. But let's bump up UTSA to the fifth spot. That was a good win for them. Good win for the conference. Not quite making up for Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech. Crap in the bed, but this is one they're going to talk about for a while. Old Dominion beat UMass in the ugliest game ever. I don't know how good ODU is, and I don't know if I learned, the answer to that question after reading that box score. Nothing.
Yeah.
nobody has ODU opinions, and that's fine. I don't know what to think about them. Marshall, they got blown out by North Carolina State. They played okay in the first half. They had 20 points in the first half, and. And then now they don't. They lost. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's just okay.
They couldn't hang.
So Marshall, I don't know. We're gonna find out some things. They don't look like they're ready to get back to Marshall football.
Yeah, I was expecting them to step it up a little bit.
Yeah. North Texas, I put us at 8, and I think that's a good fit because you know, we played an okay team. We played like a pure kind of team. You know, so far this season we've handled a team we should handle, and we lost to a team that was a little bit better than us talent wise. So no shame there, outside of the manner in which we lost. UAB was blown out by Ball State, and I don't know how good Ball State is. Like, Ball State, I think they lost to Syracuse, but we don't really believe in the transitive property here on Mean Green Nation podcast. But they, you know, like, they're, I don't know what they, I still don't know what to think of UAB. They are, I said last week on the recap on the power rankings thing that they are a FBS startup on steroids. And that's how I feel about it.
I mean, yeah, I'd like to know what they are, what kind of team they are, but
we're gonna know in 2 weeks because next week they play an FCS team again. So
okay, so they're one game that we're gonna figure out who they are. It's gonna be
the game where we play them. Yeah. I feel good about that matchup, and I said Charlotte got handled by Kansas State, and there was nothing to say about it. Kansas State was good. It was like 55-14 or something like that. I watched like literally 30 seconds of this game, and I don't know if I have anything to say about Charlotte. They did a lot of losing before they went on a run last season, and I don't know if they have that run in them this season. So there you go. FAU, they scored a cool touchdown against Wisconsin, so we can say, hey, they can score a cool touchdown every now and then, but then they fall apart and they don't really have enough to hang with big boy teams. There's nothing to learn from FAU losing to Wisconsin handily. They only allowed 31 points, I guess. I mean, but Wisconsin doesn't look like they're going to get 65, but whatever. FIU pulled out a win against Alcorn State, and this is like
Alcorn.
Friday. Yeah, so they are terrible, and I know this might have been affected by the hurricane, but I mean, I don't really know. Like, FIU has been awful. They allowed 61 points right in the first week, and then now this one they barely managed 17 against Alcorn State. Meh. You have anything on FIU?
I don't have anything to add to this one.
I think a lot of people still get the FUs confused. Rice and UTEP, they played each other, and I have them both on the bottom of my power rankings. UTEP lost at home to Rice, and I think Rice blew them out last season, and this one they basically did the same thing again. They handled them. I saw that the Minor Rush Twitter account was like, hey, we crossed midfield. And it was like halftime or something like that. 31-14 was the final score. UTEP didn't score until the second half when it was like 17-0.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I didn't know UTEP was that terrible. I thought they were going to be terrible, but I didn't know that they were going to be that terrible.
They were supposed to be terrible last season when we played them.
Yeah. So, for whatever reason, Rice has like the upper hand against UTEP, beating them 2 years in a row, and UTEP has the upper hand against us, beating us 2 years in a row. I don't want to make that three, so I'm kind of circling that game. I don't want to go down three straight years to UTEP.
Here's some stats real quick from that game. Rice had 49 rushes for 306 yards. UTEP had 24 for 26 yards.
Oof. Yeah. A lot of sacks there. I think, yeah, Mets got sacked like 3 or 4 times. I think that's kind of what did it, right?
So Rice was sacked 4 times. I'm looking at the stats right now. UTEP was sacked twice.
No, it's terrible. Yeah, I see Mets ran 4 times for negative 16. Mike Torres, he ran 1 time for negative 9 yards, and then they had a receiver lose 10 yards on a play. But yeah, like their running backs, 9 carries, 24 yards, 7 carries, 19 yards. That's not going to do it. UTEP can't run the ball, apparently, and Rice can, sort of, I guess. They had like 18 dudes run the ball.
I mean, Aaron Jones is gone, and they don't have anyone to replace him with.
Yeah. So UTEP looks terrible, and that's it. That's the conference. Next week it's going to be. Let me take a quick look at next week's schedule. Arizona and UTEP. Arizona seems like they're going to kill them. That's on Friday. UAB takes on Coastal Carolina. That's the one I said we're not going to learn anything from. What's up?
Back up a second. Arizona will be at UTEP.
Yeah. And I mean, Arizona, like, it's amazing we haven't got Arizona in here because Arizona went to UTSA, they went to UTEP. They're willing to travel. We need to figure out if we can get them in there.
12 years.
Yeah, something like that. Coastal Carolina, UAB, Florida International, Indiana, North Texas and Iowa, Middle Tennessee and Minnesota. A lot of Big Ten matchups here, huh?
Yeah, UNC Old Dominion. That'll be a good one.
Old Dominion, North Carolina. Yeah, it's gonna be a good one. Charlotte and North Carolina A&T. Just what? Bethune-Cookman and Florida Atlantic, inter-Florida matchup. That's gonna be interesting to see if they're gonna even play that game, given that they're gonna be a lot doing a lot of hurricane recovery cleanup. Marshall and Kent State, UT San Antonio, and Southern. Again, Southern just lost to what I said, Southern Miss. So I don't know, we get to compare, sort of. Southern
Compare
Miss
Louis.
and Southern Miss and Louisiana Monroe, a nice Conference USA Sun Belt Conference matchup. And a big one, Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky. We're gonna learn some things in that one. That one's in Bowling Green. And finally, Rice and Houston. I think Houston wins that easily.
And that'll be a nice Houston game, after Harvey.
So there you go. Conference USA didn't really have the greatest week this weekend, but I think everybody's gonna be talking about the UTSA and Baylor result. And sure, if that gets you excited, okay. But Baylor just looks terrible. They don't look like they know what they're doing. They're definitely not the team that we saw past couple of years that could score 63 points easily when it was like averaging 600 yards a game. Yeah, they don't look like that team. I guess for good reason.
Hopefully, we'll look like that team in a in this season.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Mingry Nation podcast, and thanks to the handful of people that tried to listen to it live. That was totally spur of the moment. You can ask Aldo. He was like, "What? We're gonna be live? I had to put a shirt on. What?" Thanks again for listening. Bad week. It was a bad week for North Texas, but there were some positives. That's the takeaway here. I'm looking forward to the Iowa game, just because it's an opportunity game. It's showpiece. It's gonna be on like regular ESPNs. You know what I mean? We can get a win against that team, although I don't think it's going to happen. And
I
that's
don't think
fine.
it'll happen this year, yeah.
Yeah.
But the one positive now that we can take away from last week is we'll never have to play Courtland Sutton ever again.
God, I sports hate that dude so hard. I don't think I've like the last sports hate I had for like a conference opponent was like I think Ty, the dude
T.Y.
from
Hilton?
T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, that dude. He would kill us all the time too, but not to this extent. And I've seen Courtland Sutton in person do it, and that was just awful. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Go Ming Green.
Green.